Hi.
Hello.
My name is Amy.
And my name is Shay. And you're listening to the Allotment Diaries podcast. Whether you're a veteran allotmenteer or someone who just started, we believe this show appeals to everyone. Hello, Amy. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. So today we are going to be doing a tour of our windowsill. So we're going to be talking about what we are germinating, what we've sowed, what we're planning to grow in the near future. And then the second part of the show, we have asked our listeners some various questions. One is asking for some cheesy dad jokes. The second is asking some questions to submit to us. And then afterwards, we will reveal our next guest. Yeah, next show guest.
Yep.
One thing we will not be doing is talking about the football. So, Amy, if you can not mention anything to do with Arsenal and football and anything to do with that, that would be great.
Okay. Shall we not mention that you cancelled on me last night in order to watch the football then? So the podcast will be recorded a day later.
Yeah, and well, I deeply regret that because it was a terrible 90 minutes.
All right, that's enough now.
Yeah, anyway, so how are you? What have you been up to?
I've been up to loads, actually. I spent a good few hours last weekend at the plot, and it's very exciting because if you follow our Instagram, you'll see I'm getting my shed today.
How exciting.
It's a new development, so it's a good size shed. It's just over 7 foot wide, 5 foot depth, and over 7.5 foot tall. So I'm planning on making it like a nice place to be. So it won't be full of tools because I'm keeping my old metal shed for that. But this is going to have like seats, and I'm going to be able to like put my bacon sandwiches in it and make my cups of tea and wash my hands and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
I'm imagining you're going to go full 100% she shed on it.
Yeah. In fact, I realized that I just had a message from someone from Sunday who was replying to my story, and I didn't realize it was there because it was in my request. But yeah, she's given me plot shed goals. So this is plot massive allotmenteer. So I think it said she's in London, and she has an amazing inside and outside shed. I mean, she's got full on furniture. She's got filing cabinets in there, pictures hanging on the wall.
Sorry, one second. I have to stop you. Filing cabinet? Is that with paperwork?
Well, I'm guessing it's for like her seeds and bits. I'll say on the screen, but like...
Oh, wow. That's not a shed.
It looks like it's got a camp bed in it.
That's a house.
These are the goals. Although it says she's from Kent, but it also says on...
Yeah, that's incredible. Are you able to share that as on a
post? I'll ask her if I can share it because I've mentioned it on the podcast. But it's got little curtains on the windows, which I think would look really cute because obviously my window's at the front of the shed. So yeah, she's given me some definite shed goals here.
Yeah. No, my shed goal is terrible. I mean, my shed is terrible. It's it looks like it's been burgled and it smells of rat piss. But apart from that.
No, don't say that, because that is a little bit what I'm worried about. Why does it smell like rat wee? Is it because you've left stuff in there?
Yeah, I noticed that there's a big hole at the base of the shed, and I do think there's some vermin that's going in and out of the shed, and hence the reason why it smells of
nice toilet. Okay. Yeah, I think I just have to be really careful about what I'm storing in this shed.
So, are you gonna put buntings on? Have you got a color scheme for your shed?
I'm not really like a sunshine color person. Like, I'm definitely a black and gray person. But yeah, I think I'll probably just paint it gray on the outside, and then just have like a nice little outdoor rug on the floor. And it won't be like vibrant colors. It will just be subtly nice. I mean, that's the plan anyway. We'll see.
Let's talk about security. What are you going to do for security? Is it just a standard lock, or are you...
So when we got the plot, the first thing that everyone said to us is we don't put locks on our shed because it almost encourages people to think that there might be something in there. Right. So we don't lock them. We just leave them open. And I must admit, I think we've got like 8-9 foot wire fencing around the whole plot. It literally backs onto a main road and a train track.
Right.
So there's a gated, obviously locked combination lock fence on the front, on the gate on the front. So I must admit, the only time I've ever known anybody's come into the plot that shouldn't have is when somebody's left the lock unlocked whilst they're in there. So I think we had a homeless person that walked around during the day and was looking in everybody's sheds and bits and pieces. But that was because the person that was in the allotment hadn't locked it after them.
Right, okay.
Again, you know, I'm interested to find out your point of view on this, right? So it says on the gate to lock it when you go in for your security. But my problem is that if I was there on my own, and it is a little secluded, my allotment, and I lock it in, what if there's somebody already in there and then I can't get out because I've locked myself in? If I was in a panic and I needed to leave the allotment and I've got to unlock a combination lock, do we think it's safer for me to not lock myself in, let somebody else come in, or lock myself in and risk somebody else being in there?
But flip it around. What if you leave it unlocked and you allow someone who's slightly dodgy to come into the plot?
This is it. To be honest, don't generally go down there on my own.
I'll just lock it up.
I know, but then if there's a murderer running around in my allotment, I'm dead, aren't I? Because I'm not getting out again.
Yeah. I mean, there has been several references to allotments allotment plots being quite a focal point of like searches for recent murders and stuff like that. I'm not going to go into details about that, but
I don't think they've been murdered on the actual plot, so have they?
No, but there's been like
disposals. I'm not sure. Anyway,
it's taking a bit of a dark twist to it. So, the first part of the show, as I mentioned, was we were going to do a tour of our windowsill. Never tried before. We're going to walk around with our laptops. And we're going to actually explain what we're growing on our windowsill. Amy, would you like to do the honours?
So I do have some stuff outside in a little greenhouse, but I won't mention them.
Okay.
Because one of the things that I did do, and I probably mentioned last time, is sowed a load of seeds and then the wind blew it over. So I've savoured them. So what I have brought in and what seems to be growing out of all of those seeds that fell over is peas. I now have so many peas, it's ridiculous, but they are all about like an inch tall.
Oh, is that what I can see over there?
Yeah. So these are like, look how many I've got.
Oh, wow. That looks amazing.
I actually don't think I need this many peas. So I also have, which I'm trying this year, is lemon cucumbers. Have you ever had lemon cucumbers? You're going to say, I have.
No, I've never. I mean, I've got so many questions, but I'll keep it very brief. How do you even create a lemon cucumber?
It's just a type of cucumber. So it's a lemon one.
With a lemon flavoured.
Let me just check if I've got a better name for it.
That looks incredible. I mean, all I can see is little shoots, but...
Yeah, there's not much there to see at the moment.
Yeah, it'd be I'm going to Google what a lemon cucumber looks like. Does it look like a lemon or does it look more like a cucumber?
It's a cucumber, but it's got just a slightly lemony taste to it.
Interesting.
Okay, so the things that just look like mud right now...
Oh, yeah? What's that?
...are my chilies. So I've got some early jalapenos, some cayenne, and some bird's eye.
You don't come across as someone who likes hot food.
I don't mind a bit. No, I don't like blow your head off hot food so you can't taste it. But I do like a bit of a kick. Yeah.
Surely cayennes are going to blow your head off.
Yeah. Well, I'll give them away. I do like growing chilies. I do get some satisfaction, even though I don't probably use them as much as I should. I've also got some peppers growing, but they're not doing much right now, and they're Tabasco ones.
Oh, very nice Tabasco peppers. Yeah. Tabasco ones. Oh, wow. Okay, very nice.
Yeah, this is all new, so don't ask me questions because I don't know yet. And then
I want to ask you variety as well.
Yeah, you can ask it. Look, for the first time ever, I'm actually giving you varieties. So my tomatoes, I've got Wellington orange, which I've never tried before. Black opal.
Yeah, that looks nice as well.
Pomodoro.
Yeah.
Yellow perfection and cherry pear drops.
You're really going for it, aren't you?
Yeah.
I saw someone on Instagram who was growing 27 varieties of, in fact, it was bluebell and bumblebee, I think. It was like 27 varieties of tomatoes. Now, I didn't even know there was 27 varieties.
I think I'm going to do some in the garden as well, though. Yeah. So that
Is it an obsession or is there a practical reason why you're growing that many varieties?
I just want to see what they're like. I just You should just end up with loads of red tomatoes. I think I've done like little yellow cherry ones. Then I don't know what they're called. Maybe the yellow perfection ones. But yeah, I think like having black tomatoes would be amazing. Plus, I got a bit of envy because the guy next to me grew all his tomatoes in his polytunnel. And they were huge. And they grew so well. So yeah, I think for me, I've grown a lot of stuff that I'm never going to use before. And this year I'm really like, okay, I need to know what I'm going to use. So tomatoes, cucumbers are my two. I definitely want to grow loads of these.
Fantastic. And what's that cute looking plant over there?
That cute little plant. They're my sweet peas.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, we've talked about that one.
I've never managed to get these past like this point because as soon as I put them out, they end up dying. So I think I've got quite a lot already here. And obviously today I'm getting the shed. Hopefully, you know, my husband doesn't know it yet, but by the end of today, it will be put up. And then it will give me a lot more chance to go down there.
Oh, fantastic. And I hope you've booked a chiropractor for your husband for tomorrow because he's going to need it. Is he got any help?
Yeah, he's got, what, putting it back together?
Yeah.
Me. Yeah, me.
Has he got any other help?
No, he's taking it down. He's dismantling and moving it as many few streets away. And then, yeah, I don't know.
Well, he's going to say hammer and you have to hand him the hammer. He's going to say nail. Is that the help?
Do you know what? He's like that anyway. It's so frustrating because it ends up being that, like, I really want to help, but he is like, I can do it. I can do it. I don't need any help. Well,
that is going to be amazing. And I can't wait to look at the finished article. Yeah, you better get him some painkillers and some lots of beers to make him for it.
No, I don't think so. Anyway, so I've given you now a tour of mine, and I think I've done quite well because I never actually have the names of any of the plants. So,
yeah, absolutely. And good balancing with a laptop and walking around your house as well.
It's probably very noisy, but, you know, never mind. Go on then, you'll go.
All right, 1 second. Let me just grab and undo all my laptop wires.
Come on, get on with it, man.
1 second.
Get the tour of the house whilst we're doing this.
Just going through the door. Okay, all right. Here we go. On the left, introducing, weighing at 200 pounds, we have zinnias. We have a lot of zinnias. Zinnias is a type of flower. They grow about, I think it's about 4 foot high and produces very nice pollinating flowers for the bees. Zinnias. I've gone really heavy with flowers. This year, my aim is to do 50-50. So flower and vegetable, 50%, 50%.
Yeah.
Zinnias, I've got on the left-hand side. The thing on the right-hand side growing, that's about half an inch, is lupins.
Mm-hmm.
They grow, again, about 4 foot tall, and they produce a nice, like, bell-shaped flowers. Then I've got my really depressing-looking brown soil, which is thyme. For the life of me, I can't grow thyme to save my life. Yeah, it's just terrible, but I'm persevering. I do wonder whether it's the temperature, the sunlight, or it just takes ages. I did have someone on Instagram who said that they are quite high maintenance.
Are they? Okay. Yeah. I think I've got some thyme in the... on the plot, but I've no idea what it's doing.
I mean, I've got no time for it.
Oh. Uh-huh. Carry on.
Anyway, yeah. And then on the right-hand side, the one on the tray is tomatoes. Now, when I asked you, why are you growing so many varieties? Well, on the other spectrum, it's myself who is only growing one type of variety. And I do wonder whether I've actually made a mistake here because now I've got probably about 37 tomato plants, and they're all one variety, and they're called Gardener's Delight. I got it from Wilco, and they all shot up and they look magnificent.
Yeah,
I do fear that I'm going to be a bit tired of Gardener's Delight. I'm going to be Gardener's Not Delighted.
Would you ever just go into a shop and buy some already started off, or do you feel like that's cheating? Because
I don't think it's cheating. I've done that before, and I thought that's a really good way, because why would anybody with a family of four need 37 tomato plants, producing probably about one bucket of tomato a day.
It depends what you're going to do with them. If you're going to make sauces and bits and actually store them, then fine. If you're not, if you're going to eat them as they come, then you've got to do them.
I'm going to put it in a shipping crate and I'm going to go to Spain and partake in a tomato Tino festival and throw tomatoes at people. No, I have no idea. I've produced a lot. I'll probably end up giving it away to friends, family, neighbors, person down the road, anybody.
Yeah, but then that's what I was saying this year. Like, this is the first year that I'll actually be in the office whilst doing the allotment. So I'll be able to give like some way to work people. So I'm quite excited about that as well.
Exciting. And the last one is my sunflower. My son has a sunflower growing competition for his school, so I am helping him grow it.
That's cool.
And then I've got some few stuff out in my cold frame outside. One second, let me just go out the door.
Did I tell you I've got a cold frame now?
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Okay, what kind?
I don't know. I got it for free off the guy that I'm getting the shed off. Again, I'll send a little picture.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So now just outside on out in the garden, and in front of me is my cold frame, and inside it, it's got three pots of dahlias, butternut squash. I've got courgettes, more tomatoes, gardener's delight. And then I've got some sunflower. This variety of sunflower is really exciting, actually. I am growing red sunflower. Never knew existed. But, oh, wow. Yes, Amy just showed me her cold frame.
Really carbon one.
Very, very snazzy. Where are you going to put it?
It's at the allotment. It's just in the plot, so I have no idea really what I'm supposed to do with it, but I've just – it's full now.
Mm. Fantastic.
It's full of lots of different things, including some pak choi, which I did buy ready started from the range.
I tried growing pak choi last year and got decimated by slugs.
Okay.
Yeah, right. So just bear in mind, they love a pak choi.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So do you have any other plans to sow anything for the month of May?
I do. So I think pretty much all my veg is now sown, as long as it all doesn't blow away again. So mine's now flowers. I've really got a crack on with. I've got so many flower seeds. I do have some flowers that I've already bought, like established plants that are in the plot. But I still need to do a lot of my sowing. And do you know what? I've still got potatoes put in.
Oh, really?
Okay. I bought so many of them that I put half in, and now I'm probably going to do another half over the other side of the pot. But, I've still got onions and potatoes. And I don't know if it's too late or early or whatever, but they're going in because that's just how I roll. So, I guess for me, I probably will go to the shops and buy bits and pieces as I see them as well.
Yeah.
Just can't help it, especially like we went into the range and God, the plants looked like they hadn't even seen water since they were like born. So, I was like, oh, I've got to save this one. I've got to save that one. So, I think for me, I've still got so many seeds I need to sow that I really need to help with, which is a plan for obviously this long weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got a lot done during the Easter half term. So I think the month of May, as I recall it, is really a time to go, because it's, you can pretty much sow anything that you have now. I think.
When I look at the packets, it all says April and May. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah. A lot of the packet, I noticed that it says, you can sow directly outside in the ground in May. I would probably err on the side of caution just because. Yeah. During the night time,
it did have snow in May a couple of years ago when we first got the allotment plot. I remember having snow in May, so
yeah, I remember my pumpkins that I grew died instantly. Right, okay, so I've got I've chitted sweet corn seeds, so they are ready to go. I'm chitting everything basically this year. And my plan is to I've been waiting for the allotment. To acquire some wood chip. They normally do, but this year for some reason they haven't. So now I'm going to try to source some wood chip to be delivered.
It's so thick.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that because I think it just enhances the look of your plot.
It really does. Makes such a difference. I didn't realize how gray and dull of the wood chip that's 2 years old was like. And then you put it all new on top and you're like, wow.
I was thinking about the existing, like pre-existing wood chip that's layered down. Is there any reason why we shouldn't dig it up and put it back on the bed and then revitalize it with new wood chip? Or do you think it's just a case of topping it up?
I'd just top it up. I mean, it's going to break down anyway, isn't it, over time?
Would it not create almost like fertile soil for the weed to grow through? Despite the weed membrane being there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. Might have to look into this.
I think if you've got time, that's the thing, isn't it? If you've got time to
dig up. It would be a lot for me. My paths are huge.
And then also, you'd have to probably replace the weed membrane, because trying digging up 2 year worth of wood chip without tearing the weed membrane.
Well, I'd just shove it on top because it's easier, and even that's quite a lot of hard work.
maybe I'm thinking too much about this.
Yeah, I think you might be. Just
I think your
up.
Approach of shove it and see is probably.
I don't think you're going to end up with hills like on your plot where you've got so much wood chip and soil underneath. If you get to that point, then maybe deal with it.
Yeah, I just imagine myself like Sound of Music with a big hill of wood chip, and me being Julie Andrews and running around.
Throw some nice wildflowers on it, though, can you?
yeah, maybe. Right. Okay. All right. Well, shall we swiftly move on to the second part of the show?
Let's go.
Okay. Right, Amy. So. You asked our listeners and our followers on Instagram a few questions. One question was, I believe it was, what would you like us to talk about? Bluebell and Butterflies requested that we talk about wildlife gardening.
Okay.
Now, there's so much to talk about wildlife gardening. So maybe what we could do is dedicated a show in a couple of episodes time where we discuss a first segment of the podcast about wildlife gardening.
Okay, sounds good.
The other questions were submitted by, let me just quickly have a look. Oh right, okay. @queenbee_82 asked a question. She's just acquired a new allotment plot this year. What is the best advice you could give her? What kind of advice do you think we should give Queen Bee? I'm pretty sure she has an actual name rather than Queen. I'll find that out in the meantime. What kind of advice would you give Queen Bee?
So, obviously, we don't know what her plot looks like to begin with. So, it's difficult to give advice to let her know exactly what to do from the beginning, but I just say do it bit by bit. I think for anyone, I just say do it bit by bit. Just pick a bit that you want to start on, clear it, put your bed in or your soil, whatever you want to do, and just don't get overwhelmed by the whole plot, because the chances are you're not going to get around excuse me, to doing it all this year. So, yeah, don't get overwhelmed. Just do it bit by bit. Dig a bit out. Grow something in it and then move on to the next bit. What would your advice be?
My advice for Debbie, that's Queen Bee's name, would be to, I think I've got probably about three advices. It'd be to take it slow. It's not a race. It's not a competition. Take it slow, because you want to enjoy it. And if you speed things up and if you're just rushing and work too hard, you're not going to enjoy it. It's going to be too strenuous and onerous on your life. The second advice is fail forward. What I mean by that is don't be afraid to make mistakes, because mistakes you can learn from. So fail forward. And the last advice is enjoy it.
Yeah.
Really, really enjoy it. I mean, I on the first 2 years, what I didn't do really was create an area where I can just sit down.
Yeah.
It was only last year in September I created my so-called gin bar, but it hasn't really transpired. I've drunk any gin there. But create a little, not an entertainment area, but just this little relaxing area to sit down, and marvel at the lovely work that you've done and the harvest and everything. Because ultimately, I think, you know, I know, this is really cheesy, but the allotment is not just for growing plants. It's for growing your mental health as well. So enjoy it.
Oh my God. I had the cheesiest thought when I was driving home the other day. It is cheesy, but I was just like, do you know what? I don't have an allotment because I'm like, I have this desire to grow veg. I just don't. Like, actually, I have an allotment because, yes, it's nice to get veg out at the end of it, but it's more than what it gives me. Like, so having that space, going down there, you know, doing the gardening, not looking at your phone for that amount of time that you're there. It's just, it's actually an allotment for me is all about that. It's the day-to-day of the allotment, rather than actually what you produce at the end. So I actually don't think I'm doing it to produce produce at the end. That's what I've decided.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I think you're completely right. And I think that's why you need to see having an allotment as kind of a holistic approach to gardening, because it's growing everything. The other thing is, just touching base on that, is Mark Riddler actually submitted a question, who basically said, Shay, is Shay going to ever answer Amy's question in regards to whether he would pay for his plot if there was a price increase? So based on everything that we've just discussed, my answer would be yes, because I think you have to look at allotment, having an allotment as everything, for your mental health, physical well-being, the harvest that you produce. And quite frankly, even if my allotment plot was to increase threefold, 300%, it would still be cheaper than 2 months of gym for me. So I would go for it.
Yeah.
I hope that satisfied Mark, and I hope that's put like a
I think
end
got
to
a
that question.
Answer now. Yeah, I'll check with him, make sure he's happy.
Okay. All right. And then one of the, there was a last question from Maggie Luz as well. It was about pests and how we control pests. And I think Maggie is asking specifically about aphids. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think so.
Okay.
So is this, that's what grows on like the broad beans, I guess. So
yes,
is that right?
Yes.
So I think I have tried lots of different things, and you know, one year I might be really affected by it and another year I don't see them at all. So, and it's not because I've done anything different. So I don't know what it is, but, I've tried spraying it with washing up liquid and water. No. It just doesn't work. It's not great. It just looks like it kills the plants more than it does the actual bugs. But ladybirds love them. So ladybirds eat them. So if you find ladybirds, I would put them on your plant. So having those on your broad beans does not affect the crop that you'll get out of it, as far as I know. So just let the ladybirds eat them and just don't stress over them. I think you can cut the tops off and bits and pieces, but I don't think it's going to make a lot of difference. I think they're only interested in the very tip of the plant, but that's not something I've personally tried. But yeah, ladybirds will love them, so, and that's what they feed on. So,
and how do you get ladybirds? How do you get ladybirds?
I mean, do you not find them everywhere? I literally am already finding them everywhere.
Do you know where else you can find them?
Where?
Amazon. You can go and buy I've got it in front of me, a ladybird larva. You can go and buy them. It's about 26 quid.
Yeah, and then you buy them all, put them next to your plant, they'll fly away to someone else's and eat their,
yeah.
Their little bugs.
But yeah, you can buy actually ladybird larvas. Or the other method is, particularly, I think, if you are growing broad bean, I've heard that cutting the tip, the flower bit, helps as well, because I think that's the key thing that the aphids are attracted to. And then the last one is jet washing it. Well, I wouldn't probably use a proper industrial jet wash, because your plant's going to end up 2 miles down the road. More like, you know, jet stream on your hose pipe.
Okay.
So
does that work? Have you tried that?
I haven't tried any of them. Last year, my broad beans got decimated and it was too late for me to try anything. This year I'm going to try the cutting the tip off, Yeah, I'm not going to be buying any lava from Amazon.
I'm not doing broad beans this year. I don't even really like them. You end up with so many of them. I was freezing them and giving them away, and I just thought, I'm not doing it this year.
Yeah.
Just like, I think, you know, when the bugs do attack them, I think it is a disappointment in the plots. I'm like, you know, whether that still happens when you grow your peas, I've not personally had it or anything, but I'm just going to go for sugar snap peas and Wange 2 and normal peas and leave it at that.
Yep. Yep. No, 100%.
That's my way of avoiding them.
So the last question that you asked was, did anybody have any jokes?
I didn't ask that. You asked me to ask that.
I did. That's,
I love not my cup of tea.
I love a dad joke.
Okay, go on.
But before we go on to the jokes, there was a final question I just realized was from Bluebell. Okay. How did you both meet? I think we've talked about this several times, but
we have, yeah.
Just,
does that mean she's not been listening to us then?
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, how did we both meet, Amy? Well, the answer is we've never met.
My dogs don't want me to talk. I don't know if you heard that barking, but they're not very happy. They do think that we've already covered this question many times. on Instagram. And, yeah, over allotment plots, we got a plot around the same time. Both joined Instagram and started chatting about all things allotments. And it was a joke. She said about starting a podcast. And however many, what is it? It must be almost a year now.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost a year. We're still here. Never met each other. Have no intention of meeting each other.
Good Lord, never. No, no, no.
So, yeah, this is enough of staying our relationship. Just 45 minutes every other week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's bad enough I have to turn my my screen on for the Zoom calls.
That's rude. Yeah, so, all right. Yeah, just the love of Instagram and allotments is what we're up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been lovely, isn't it?
No.
Okay, so Mark was the only person kindly enough to respond to our
gardening joke, though. It was quite specific. Oh my god, my dog!
Is that you, or is that the dog? Okay.
This is the problem when we record during the day; they're on high alert.
Or all those delivery drivers.
Yeah. Okay. It's like post or someone walking past with their dog. Yeah, come on.
Right. So would you like me to just read them out?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let's see if you can guess the kind of the pun story.
Oh, okay.
Okay. A friend dug a deep hole in her garden and filled it with water. She meant well. No. Okay. Next one. My wife said the allotment had flooded. Turns out there was a leak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that
the last?
It?
Oh, good Lord. I'm just having a look at it. No, there's two more.
Okay.
Why is the grass so dangerous?
Because it's got blades in it.
Yes. Did you write that one?
No.
Yeah, it's very good. And the last one is, I read a book about a guy who had a small garden. Not much of a plot. Didn't.
Okay. I can live with that one.
You can live with that one. Okay.
But thanks to the Garden Riddler for actually providing us with some jokes and reading our stories. So I'll take that.
No, I like that. Before we move on to revealing our next guest, for our next show, I came across a poem by a gentleman called Barry Pook, and it's a poem called The Allotment. And can I read it to you? I really was touched by it. I thought it was really good.
Okay, go on.
Okay. The Allotment. My granddad passed it down to my dad. It was when granddad died, very sad. Dad beavered away and got it going through heavy digging and seed sowing. I remember going as a child when it was sunny or very mild, picking blackberries for a pie. My mum would make it by and by. Got older and I learned the trade. I followed just how vegetables were made. Tying the beans and suppressing the weeds, Dad instructed the plants' wants and needs. Then when it was time for my dad to go, he helped me from above to continue to grow. I persevered with this for many years, sometimes with happiness and others with fears. Eventually, there came a time to stop. My back gave in, couldn't harvest a crop. With sadness, it was for me that I had to go. Didn't want to give up, but soon ended the show. I handed my key, gave friends some tools. My eyes welled up like seashore pools. But the rainbow appeared on that day, saying both Granddad and Dad loved me anyway.
Aww, that's very cute.
Yeah, that was. I thought it was really nice.
Wouldn't it be nice if you had an allotment that had just been passed down through generations to generations, and that actually one of my children might actually want to take on my plot, but that's never going to happen.
Why not?
That, well, unless they become adults and take an interest in it. They have no interest right now.
Well, I mean, that brings us quite nicely to revealing our next guest show, because one of the things I struggle with is really trying to get my child interested in allotment and gardening. And I think that's it. And the only way you can actually pass down your allotment from generation to generation is to actually get your child to be interested in the garden in first place. Which brings us nicely to our next guest, because his name is Skinny Jeans Gardener.
Uh-huh.
He is the gardening host of Blue Peters, and he actually has a very engaging daughter who's actually really interested in gardening. And you know, I'm going to be asking some questions. Look, Lee, how do you get your daughter to actually enjoy gardening and partake in it? Skinny Jeans Gardener is our next guest show.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this one. It's nice. And to be honest, like, my kids aren't that little anymore, so he's not somebody that I've actually seen on the TV yet. Have you experienced him yet on TV?
Not yet, no, but I have seen quite a lot of his videos on Instagram. You can follow him, Skinny Jeans Gardener. It's really, really interesting, actually, and especially some of these reels are quite funny. I'm going to listen to, I think he's got a podcast with his daughter about gardening, so I'm going to listen to them as well.
Cool.
Yeah, so right. Really interesting, really excited.
Yeah, I am too.
So Amy, other than constructing your passing the hammer to your husband who's constructing the shed this afternoon, what other plans do you have, if any?
It's going to be all shed related, I'm not gonna lie, because as soon as we've actually built the shed, then the actual, you know what I'm like, you know, we got an allotment and within about 4 days it looked like a well-established plot, you know. I'm really impatient, so I'm telling you now, the majority of this weekend will be buying stuff for the shed, doing the shed. It will have like pretty curtains and a rug down and seating and anything that I can find around the house that I think would be great to take. It'll have shelves up. I've already decided that I'm going to buy get a little table and then cut a little hole out of it so I can have a washing up bowl in it, so it can actually look like a little kitchen area. I'm proper going for it.
You are. I mean, are you going to be able to do all that inside the shed?
We'll see. I don't know. I did ask the lady whose picture that I just showed you, Shay, but I'll post if she allows me to. I did ask her how big hers is, because she was in there. A bed. It looks like she's got like a little camp bed in there.
Oh, an actual sleeping bed.
Did you not see? Hang on, let me show you again.
Yeah.
Let me show you. So if hers is a similar size, then I think actually I can probably do quite a lot in there. Look, it's got like a little, it's got a bench on one side and then like a little, what looks like a little bed on the other side. So she gets tired, she gets a little nap. It might not be a bed.
Is that a chest of drawers? Like, yeah, it looks like a day bed.
It does. So And that's... I don't think that that looks any... I mean, 7 foot, just over 7 foot by 5 foot is quite a big head. And it's over 7.5 foot tall. So, you know, it's quite a decent size.
Yeah.
So, yeah, by the end of the weekend, my shed will look like that.
Well, I'm really looking forward to having a look at the end picture of your shed.
Okay.
Do you have any restrictions or anything like that within your...
I don't care because somebody almost built what looks like a house on their plot.
I remember this picture that you showed me.
Honestly, it's absolutely bloody huge. It must stand 12 feet tall. It's ridiculous.
Oh, please, can you just share that picture? Can you share the picture?
I don't know.
Well, look, just share. Why don't you send it to me and I'll share it on your behalf, and then they can't put the link other than if they listen to this podcast.
Exactly. I don't think they do. But it is. I don't think it was their plan to ever make it as big as it is.
If I remember rightly, do they have a double glazed window?
Yes. It's got a patio. Oh, yeah, I am going to do a patio bit outside the front of the shed as well.
So now you've just ridiculed another person for having a patio. You're going to do the same thing.
No, but, they've got a huge patio. I want, a little bit of decking outside so I can put some plant pots so it looks like a little house. But they literally have built a house. Like a house.
It looks two-story.
It honestly does. So is there restrictions? I don't care.
I mean, Kevin MacLeod would have been impressed with that, I think.
There are restrictions to how big you can have a shed, but I haven't looked. And I'm going to have two by the end of this, so
I mean, yeah.
If they ever said anything, I'd be like, hang on a second. Have you seen over there? I even said to the guy who manages the allotment once, is he moving in, is he? He's like, oh boy, it's quite big.
Well, there you go. I think you can get away with that then. Yeah. Send us a picture. So I'll ping that up on
when
our...
I'm next there. I think the picture I've got was during construction, but obviously it's completed now. So when I'm there later, I'll take a picture and I'll send it to you, and you can upload it.
Yeah, amazing. Well, I'm hoping that I can actually get some of my plants in the ground now. I know we're just approaching May, and that there's a lovely rhyme that basically tells you not to do anything in gardening until the end of May. Which I can't remember for the life of me. Do you?
No.
Something, don't cast the clouds of May until the end.
No
of
idea. But anyway, yeah, it seems like
I'm not gonna do it. Yeah, despite that rhyme, I'm going to go and put some stuff in the ground.
Okay. What, established or just seeds?
No, established plants. Okay.
What happened to your Shayote plant?
Yeah.
But I told you not to put out.
But it was taking over my kitchen. So it was either being engulfed with my Shayote plant or put it out.
In the house, probably.
Yeah, maybe. So I think I'm going to put my three sets of dahlias out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to do that on Sunday. So, guys, if you're listening to this and it's a terrible idea, reach out to me and tell me to stop, because I am going to do this on Sunday.
Okay. Apparently the weather's going to be nice over the weekend, so...
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what they said.
I plan to have a barbecue up there one day. I had this vision when I took on the allotment back in 2021 of me having barbecues every weekend up there. Yeah. I even went and brought a barbecue set. And have I had a barbecue in the last 3 years?
Barbecue.
No.
We're not even allowed them.
But you are allowed a semi-detached house.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. I'm going to rock out the barbecue if it's nice.
So one of the things as well, I was wondering, as you're on feedback from listeners, is, has anybody ever slept at their plot? I genuinely want to do this now.
That lady with a day bed, I think.
Exactly. But I'll ask her. But has anybody ever
slept?
Imagine the wildlife.
Actual sleep through the night, not just in the Sunday afternoon and you've had a few too many ciders.
I mean, have you ever slept at the plot?
That's a really weird question.
Is it?
Well, I mean, you can ask that question. Guys, if you're reading that question, it's not from me, okay? It's from Amy. Yeah.
Do it.
Okay, I'm going to go back to you. Would you ever sleep on your plot?
Yeah, I've said we should do it in the summer. I think we should sleep at the allotment.
What, for bands?
In the shed.
Well, yeah, it's a bit weird.
Why?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't sleep in my rat urine-infested shed.
Oh, yeah, but yours, it clearly isn't like a nice shed. Yours is rat-infested. But can you imagine
burglar-proof.
All the wildlife that you would see? I bet you'd have, like, foxes that would be, like, bouncing around on your plot. Might not sleep much, but, you know.
You wake up with one arm.
Yeah, I did notice that I'd cut all the flowers off my rhubarb and just dumped them on top of my wood chip. And a fox has done a poo on top of them. I thought about burying it, but then I thought, no, I'm not going to bury it.
Grim. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. As you know, a fox did a poo on my rhubarb. So
yeah, well, they must.
I guess that's karma, isn't it?
Yeah, well, at least this wasn't actually on my rhubarb. I just cut the flowers off and put them on the path, and then it pooped on the path on top of the rhubarb flowers.
You should see my rhubarb. It is flourishing.
Crazy,
huge.
Aren't they, rhubarb this year?
I think it's the water. I think it's just the amount of water that we've had. Because they're very resilient to crap temperature and no sunlight.
I do love the rhubarb plant. They do look amazing.
Other than crumble and, gin, is there anything that you can do with rhubarb?
I mean, there's got to be so many recipes.
Chutney, I suppose.
Jams or chutney type things,
I've got so much rhubarb, but I'm like, well, could have it with gin. I could have it as an apple crumble, but that's just a bit samey. Can I do something different?
Somebody online do things with the leaves. So they were saying you can add it to like mulch in plants, and they were even using it to like provide like a frost blanket over, because obviously they get so huge. They had just like a row of huge leaves over their plants to give it a little bit of cover in the frost.
Yeah. Right, Amy, I realised that we've been going on for quite a bit now. We've been nattering away. Well, you've been nattering away. I've just been listening now. I'm joking. We've been nattering away for quite a bit, and I think it's time to say goodbye to our listeners.
Okay, cool. Bye, listeners.
Bye, listeners. And thank you very much for tuning in. Speak to you soon. Bye.
That's it from Allotment Diaries podcast today. So from Shay and I, we thank you for listening. If you have any questions you'd like us to answer, or you're interested in being a guest on our show, then please follow us on Instagram at allotment.diaries.podcast. Please also subscribe to Allotment Diaries podcast, where you'll find us on all of the major podcast platforms.